Roger will read to us now from Matthew 26, verses 17 to 30, which is on page 996 of the Pew Bibles. And then Andrew will talk to us about the passage.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi?" Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I would be very grateful if you had that passage open. So if you've closed it, if you'd like to turn back to it, if you haven't opened it, then I think you'll find it a help if you did open it. It's page 996 of the Church Bibles, page 996, Matthew 26, and we'll be looking at it in some detail. No, sorry, go back, that's great, thank you. Good, and it's lovely to be with you. I'm back here. I have preached here before some years ago, but in particular, I've known Martin and Rachel for a long time and have a very deep respect for them. I'm not surprised that you, I'm sure, treasure them and are praying for them during this time where they're on sabbatical. I also know Philip Cokin, of course, who's a fellow minister in Eastbourne, and I know well Julian Henderson, who was here before. So long connections with you as a church family, and I've often been and sat in your vicarage and listened to and prayed with successive vicars of yours. So, what is the communion service? Or you may have been brought up in a church which called it the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist, or if you used to be a Roman Catholic, the Mass. What is the service where we come to kneel at the communion rail? Do you have a communion rail? Perhaps you don't, but to kneel perhaps at the step and remember Jesus with bread and wine. In a Church of England church, there are two focuses. The pulpit, or of course a lectern if you're preaching from here, where we hear the word of God, that is the Bible, explained and applied to our everyday life. That is vitally important because the Church of England's stated conviction is that the Bible must inform and control and direct every part of the life of any church and of us as individual Christians, and we must listen to the Bible and accept it and obey it, as we prayed a moment ago that we would. And the other focus is the communion table. Some people call it the altar, but that is in fact a mistake. An altar is a place of sacrifice. The Old Testament temple had altars because animals were sacrificed there as part of their worship. But a Church of England church has a communion table because the final sacrifice was made 2,000 years ago when Jesus sacrificed himself as the cross, at the cross. And as we come together for a meal at a table. We eat the bread and drink the wine and think about Christ and his love for us. And today we're going to raise the question, why is the communion service so important? In the early church, it was the principal service of Christians held at least once a week. In Emmanuel, you have it less frequently than that, but it's still, I'm sure, enormously important to you. So why does communion have such significance for us? Well, it all began at what we call the Last Supper, the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples before his death, recorded here in Matthew chapter 26. And the keys to understanding the communion service are all here in this passage. It speaks about God's rescue. You can see that straight away from the question the disciples asked Jesus. Have a look with me at verse 17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" Then Jesus responds, verse 18, he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" And again, verse 19, so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. So the Last Supper and the communion service reenacting the Last Supper is a Passover meal. And incidentally, Jesus and his disciples would not have been sitting at the meal, but reclining, lying down, as in this picture. But what does that mean? What was the Jewish Passover meal? Well, of course, it all goes back to the Old Testament, to about 1200 BC, when the Israelites were slaves in the foreign country of Egypt. They were brutally oppressed by the Egyptians, and it got to the point where God, in his righteous judgment, had to send a dreadful punishment against the people of Egypt, in that the punishment was to kill all their firstborn sons because of their appalling sinfulness. And God told the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb, one for each household, and to smear the blood of the sacrifice on the door frames of their house. So God rescued the Israelites in Egypt. His judgment passed over their homes, in other words, didn't kill their firstborn sons in their houses, when he saw the lamb's blood on the doorposts. God told them that would happen in Exodus chapter 12, and then told them to hold an annual meal, the Passover meal, to commemorate their rescue. And Jews still hold a Passover meal every year. I have on several occasions been to a Jewish Passover meal in which they tell this story again as they eat and drink together, the story of God's rescue. So this meal, this Last Supper in Matthew chapter 26, and every communion service is also a Passover meal, with this difference that we celebrate the fact that the same God, the God of the Old and New Testament, rescues those who trust in the blood, not of lambs, but of Jesus, that is, in the death of Jesus, and trust that he will pass over us, leaving us unpunished despite our sin, forgiven, rescued, when his righteous and final judgment comes. The Old Testament promise of rescue was not for everyone, but only for those who put the blood on their doorframe. And the New Testament does not say God will rescue everyone. Not even everyone who goes through the motions of eating the bread and drinking the wine. God rescues those who have asked Jesus to be their Savior and rescuer, who are trusting in Jesus' death when he took the punishment we deserve. And the communion service is a constant reminder of how God rescued us through Christ. Then the communion service is also a funeral meal. It speaks about Christ's death. I said a Church of England church has two focuses, the pulpit and the communion table. Every service of Holy Communion also has two focuses. First, it focuses on his body given up for us. Look at verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." He didn't mean, of course, that the bread becomes my body. After all, his body was there at the time holding the bread. He meant this bread represents, it's a picture of my body. And he also meant my body given over to death for you. Just a few days before, a woman had come into a dinner party where Jesus was a guest and poured some very expensive, sweet-smelling liquid over him. Look across the page to verse 12 to see what Jesus said about her then. Same page, verse 12. "When this woman poured this perfume on my body," says Jesus, "she did it to prepare me for burial." His body, he was saying, was going to die and be buried. And that was in Jesus' mind when he said in verse 26, "Take and eat, this is my body." And in fact, in Luke's account of the Last Supper, Jesus says, "This is my body given for you." When Jesus broke the bread, he showed how his body would be broken in death. When he gave the bread to them, he was saying that his body would be given to death for them. And the second focus of every communion service is on Christ's blood poured out for many, for us who believe. Look now at verses 27 and 28. "Then Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is my blood.'" And again, of course, he didn't mean this wine becomes my blood. As he said these words, his blood was still in his veins, in his body. He meant this wine represents, it's a picture of my blood. My blood, as he puts it in verse 28, poured out for many. The blood that would soon come from his nail-pierced hands and feet and the gash that was made in his side. Blood for the Jews meant life. And Jesus would pour out his life, give it away in death for many. In fact, for everyone who trusts in that saving death for us. So, as I say, this is a funeral meal, but with this difference from a funeral meal in the UK. At or after a funeral service, and some of you will have been to one perhaps in the last few months, you will have talked about the life of the person who died. Certainly at the meal afterwards, you remember your dead friend's life. But the communion service celebrates not Christ's life, glorious though that was, but his death for us, his body given for us, his blood poured out for us. And then every communion service is a covenant meal. It speaks about God's friendship. Look at what Jesus said in verse 27. I'll read again from verse 26. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." A covenant is a solemn agreement between two people or between one person and a group of people, which establishes and cements an important relationship of mutual commitment to each other. Perhaps the best known human covenant is the God-given gift of marriage, where a man and a woman become husband and wife. In the Church of England marriage service, when the wedding rings are exchanged, the clergyman prays, "Let these rings be, to John and Jane, a symbol of unending love and faithfulness to remind them of the vow and covenant which they have made this day." So a bride and groom make a covenant with one another, establishing in the wedding service their relationship of mutual commitment to each other. Now, the Last Supper was also a covenant service in which God commits himself to us forever, to love us, to be our friend and Father forever. And every communion service is like a marriage renewal service, as couples sometimes have at their 10th or 25th wedding anniversary. At every communion service, God says again, "I'm committed to you forever," and we respond to God who loves us, "We're committed to you forever as well." In Bible times, covenants were normally sealed in some way, just as we seal a marriage covenant by giving rings. And they were often sealed with blood. So this covenant is sealed by Christ's blood. Look again at what Jesus says in verse 28. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." In the book of Exodus, when God had committed himself to the Israelites to be their God, and the Israelite leaders committed themselves to God to be his people, Moses sacrificed animals to God. And now let me quote from Exodus 24, verse 8. "Moses then took the blood of the sacrifices and sprinkled it on the people and said, 'This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you.'" In other words, this is the blood which signs and seals the covenant. And when Jesus says here in Matthew 26, verse 28, "This is my blood of the covenant," He means that his blood signs and seals the covenant by which God commits himself to us forever. It's as if Christ stretches out his hand to us, the hand nailed to a cross for us, the hand that was stained with blood for us, and says, my Father and I are now committed to you forever. And that relationship is signed and sealed and secured by my blood. And every communion service remembers that covenant, that solid, committed friendship God has extended to us and made it absolutely certain with his own blood so that we can know he will never go back on it. And then fourth, every communion service says this passage is a foretaste meal. Have a look at what Jesus says at the Last Supper in verse 29. He says, I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus says, I'm drinking wine with you now. After this meal, I won't drink with you again for some time, but then I will drink wine with you again. I'll be present with you in a reunion, a feast of joy, when, as he puts it, I will drink wine new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, what does he mean? Well, my Father's kingdom, when Jesus uses those words, means where my Father is king and acknowledged as king. So this saying of Jesus may speak of the communion service. And if so, Jesus promises that at every communion service, he will be present with us and drink the wine with us at our communion meal. Certainly, among believers, we recognize God the Father as king. We belong to his kingdom. And Jesus may be saying, I'm soon to leave you to die, but after my resurrection, I will be present with you at every communion service, drinking the wine invisibly along with you, so that we can imagine when we kneel or stand at the communion rail, Jesus is kneeling beside us or standing beside us. Jesus is, as we receive the cup of wine, standing at our side. It may mean that. But whether or not Christ was making that promise, it does also speak about heaven when Christ will feast and drink with us. In heaven, the Father is certainly and fully recognized as king, and heaven can certainly be called by Jesus my Father's kingdom. On a number of occasions, Jesus described what heaven will be like after his second coming. He describes it as a feast. This is what he says in Matthew 8, verse 11. I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west, will take their places at the feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus Christ will be there with us as the host of the feast, again, giving out fine bread and choice wine. And then he'll drink wine new with us in our Father's kingdom. So every communion service is a foretaste meal. Perhaps, if this is part of what Jesus means in verse 29, he is there with us in a special way at the communion service as we eat the bread and drink the wine. And he drinks with us, beside us, because we acknowledge his Father as king. And certainly this looks ahead to that day of unutterable joy when we will see Jesus face to face and eat and drink and celebrate his saving death with him in the kingdom of his Father in heaven. So let me come back to my original question. What is the communion service, and why is it so very important? Well, there's one thing which Jesus said at the Last Supper, and in the church I worship in now, in Allsorgsispoon, it's written in big letters over the communion table. Jesus said, and here's a picture of our church, "Do this in remembrance of me." In Luke's account, Jesus says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in 1 Corinthians, Paul records, Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So that's what we're doing every time we take part in a communion service. As you'll do later this month in this service. We're taking and eating bread. We're taking and drinking wine and his death. And as we walk up to receive communion and kneel or stand and prepare to eat the bread and the wine and drink the wine, we're saying, "I love Jesus Christ. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love the fact that you're committed to me. I love the fact that I can call you my friend, my brother. I love the fact that you have made through your death God to be my Father forever. And I'm humbled, but I also love the truth that this friendship with God the Father and with you was sealed with nothing less than your blood. And I'm excited about the future, about heaven, that there I will drink with you again and I will be close to you as we feast together and celebrate your death there in heaven itself." And again, every time we come to a communion service, we're saying, "I love his dying for me. Lord Jesus, I love your dying for me." I know this is a funeral meal, but strangely, wonderfully, it's not a sad meal, it's a glorious meal, because your death saved me, rescued me, brought me out of slavery, brought me here to be with you in heaven rather than in hell. And one last thing I want to say to you, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful to you for leaving us this meal, this communion service, to remember you forever and your dying for us, for me. Well, let's pray together. We just have a moment of silence, first of all, so that if through the words of Matthew 26, God has spoken to you through any of these verses, in the quietness of our hearts, we can speak back in private prayer to him and praise. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son, who willingly gave his body to be broken for us and his blood to be poured out for us. And we thank you that lest we forget, as not just an annual, but a here in Emmanuel, a monthly remembrance of that great death for us. As we come later this month to receive the bread and eat it and to receive the cup and drink the wine. Help us not to do that thoughtlessly, but deeply grateful for the covenant of friendship that it seals with you and with your Son, and for the rescue it gives now and in eternity. Amen.